Hello again. Good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for your attention. As I mentioned, I'm Dan Givens from the City Club of Chicago, and it's always an honor to look out at this room that's full of so many amazing people who took time out of their day to be here with us and to hear our guest, not only hear our guest and what he has to say, but talk with each other and do all that you are doing to move this city forward. We don't take that responsibility lightly to convene you all, and which is why I always like to make sure we acknowledge some of the folks that are in the room as just a good sampling of what City Club is, because it is your club, and it's for all of you to move your companies, your institutions, and your nonprofits forward. So thank you for being here. I'm going to mention a few folks. We've got quite an array of people. Jim Zay is here, for the chair of the DuPage Water Commission. Pastor Chris Harris is here, although I haven't seen him, but I know he's here, as is Reverend Stanley Watkins. Reverend Watkins, thank you. Jessica Caffrey is here from the Land Bank. We're going to hear from her again soon. Phil Beckham's here. Where's Phil? Thank you, Phil. Lori Lipson is here from the city. Lori, welcome back. Always good to have you in the room. We have a whole host of, I think, all of these folks. Oh, another City Club speaker, Elena Harkness, is here from Current. Thank you, Elena. It's a whole host of folks that fall into a category that I'm calling recovering public servants. So let's go through that, because we at City Club appreciate public service. And so many of you, like myself, we were in the city or in other institutions and moved on into the private sector and continue to remain engaged civically just by being here. You're doing that. So thank you to our recovering public servants. Anthony Pacenti is here. And I say Kyla Jolo. Mara Georges is here. As I mentioned earlier, former Commissioner Tom Powers, of course, Leanne Thomas Foster, Tom Cross, a great public servant, former public servant, Tammy Sepulveda, Tammy Perea is here, and she's sitting with Andrew Velasquez. Thank you both for all that you've done. I know there are many others, and I know there are many from the Water Department that are here today, and I hope the Commissioner is going to recognize you. If not, I'll make sure to do that at the end. But I want to take a moment just to say thank you to all of those folks who are public servants, who were public servants. Again, we take that very seriously, and we always appreciate bringing you all together with some of the civic leaders, business leaders, and legal experts, and you name it, in Chicago. So thank you. There is one person that's not here today, and she was a regular at City Club. Lisa Schneider-Fabes died suddenly this past week, a few days ago, and she did so much for so many people, and we're all going to miss her very much. It's just a reminder that life is short. It was a sudden sudden death recently, and she's got two kids and her husband Brian Fabes. I know many of us know, so I'd like to keep their family in our thoughts and in our prayers, and certainly appreciate all that she did to make Chicago better and our whole state better. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, with that, and speaking of public service, We can't seem to shake this public servant who has been, he's now on his second term, and thank God, because the city is, again, just that much better, because he is so committed to our city, Department of Transportation, Department of Streets and Sanitation for so many years, and then the Water Department, and then the Water Department again. Somehow in his spare time, he's able to continue his ministry efforts. Maybe he'll share a little bit about that. He's a wonderful man. He's a wonderful public servant. He's a great friend of the City Club. Please welcome Commissioner Randy Connor. I do have a couple pre-submitted questions. As long as we don't go too long on remarks, I'm going to come back up, and if anyone has a question, let me know. We'll pass the mic around a little bit later. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. Wow. So good afternoon, and it's a pleasure to be here today in what is Water Management's first appearance at City Club. I want to thank the City Club crew for giving me opportunity to tell DWM's story because it's so important. Thanks to Deputy Mayor Lori Lipson for her support all the time, and absolutely, you should give it up for her, please. And to all 2,200 DWM employees who make it happen on a regular basis, and understand that they have been keeping the water running uninterrupted for over 150 years, and that's something to be proud of. And you all are the real MVPs. Many thanks to Mayor Brandon Johnson for the opportunity to serve in his cabinet. But I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge my team, my support staff. They get it done for me every day that I scream at, I holler at, I pat them on the back, sometimes I kick them in the butt, depends on the type of day it is. If everyone from water can please stand and just, or wave your hand either way or whatever. And I'd like to also acknowledge someone that's in the room that's very dear to me, Superintendent Christopher Troy Harris. That's my pastor, and he snuck in here to see me speak, so I appreciate you. Absolutely. And to all of you, thank you for taking the time out to come and hear about our story. Again, I'm Randy Connor, I'm the Commissioner of Chicago Department of Water Management, and I'm a lifelong Chicagoan, having grown up in the Pullman neighborhood where I still reside today. I have almost three decades of City Infrastructure Department experience. I've served as First Deputy at the Chicago Department of Transportation, the Department of Streets and Sanitation, and as Commissioner of Water Management. I retired from the city in 2020, and I decided I needed more gray in my beard and less hair on my head, so I decided to return in 2024. But the reality is that no one thinks about water or sewer until access to water is taken away or there's an issue with the sewer itself. And you know what? That's okay, because that means that we're doing our job. Unless you are a water geek such as myself, the water sector isn't sexy. Water isn't a ribbon-cutting event. Water is only celebrated in water circles. But the one thing that's factual, it's essential to life. And DWM is the most important department, no matter what nobody else says, because nothing happens in the city or this world without water. So today I'm going to walk you through how we've evolved from a guy with a barrel selling Lake Michigan water, wooden water mains, and lead service lines, to how we treat and filter water, to how we use ductile iron water mains and copper service lines. DWM is the world's largest municipal water management utility and the largest non-public safety department in the city with approximately 2,200 employees. That makes us the largest construction company in the state of Illinois. We opened the water doors in 1836 with the city's first public water board to address public health issues from a cholera epidemic. This board later became the Department of Water. And in 1855, the city established a board of sewerage commissioners to design the first comprehensive sewer system to remove unsanitary water from the city. This later became the Chicago Department of Sewers. In 2003, the Department of Water Management was formed and created to centralize water and sewer operations. We're a self-sustaining department with a $1.4 billion budget that is funded by our customers. On the water side, we operate the world's largest conventional purification plant at Jardine, which was commissioned in 1968 and has a capacity of 1.4 billion gallons of water. and the eighth largest at Sawyer, which was commissioned in 1947 with a capacity of 720 million gallons. That gives us a total capacity of 2.1 billion gallons of water that we can purify and distribute. We purify and distribute approximately 750 million gallons of water daily through more than 4,300 miles of water main to 5.3 million people in Chicago and 120 suburbs. That's 41% of the state of Illinois. But that's only one-third of our capacity. It's okay. You can clap. I'm proud of that. It's all right. But that's only one-third of our capacity, which means we have room for growth and the ability to take on more customers. But I do want to point out that Sawyer, when constructed, was the world's largest filtration plant, and it was on the south side and not the north side. Sorry, not sorry, Cub fans. What was the first to get treated drinking water? We have 12 pumping stations citywide, including the Chicago Avenue pumping station and the iconic water tower that has been pumping water for 156 years, and it's still going. We have two water intake cribs, and those are the circus tent-looking structures out in the middle of Lake Michigan, about 2 miles offshore, that pull water into our treatment system. Our maintenance and modernization responsibilities are massive. In addition to the infrastructure I've just mentioned, we own and manage over 48,000 fire hydrants, 48,364 valves, and 62 miles of active water tunnels that range in size from 10 feet to 20 feet. But one of the things that we are most proud of is that we administer the country's largest free residential water testing program available to any resident of the city just by submitting a request through 311. On the sewer side, Chicago has a combined sewer system. That means that stormwater and wastewater both flow into our 4,600 miles of sewer main. Our sewer system transmits wastewater and rainwater to the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago for processing and recycling. Maintaining our sewer system is an enormous job. In addition to the 4,600 miles of sewer main, we maintain 263,000 catch basins, 150,000 manholes, and 184 combined sewer overflows. In total, that's almost 9,000 miles of mainline underground infrastructure that we maintain that is valued north of $1 billion. Great. So there isn't a day that goes by that I don't get questions about MWRD, and I'm sure President Kerry still gets the same questions about us. And it still amazes me the number of people who don't know the difference between the two agencies. I always tell people that we are clean water in and they are the dirty water out. That's the easiest way to describe it. And even though we are not the same agency as MWRD, we do coordinate very closely and have the same interests: safe, clean water. Our maintenance responsibilities stop at the city limits, but our responsibility to provide a better quality of life transcends those borders. By show of hands, how many of you all don't believe in climate change? Perfect. Because it's still hard to believe the number of people who don't believe that climate change is actually real. We have seen and experienced Mother Nature's wrath and the increased number of 100-year storms, we have experienced around the city in recent years. And a 100-year storm means that there is a 1% chance of a storm that size occurring any given year. And if you play the lotto, you should take those odds, seriously. For example, in 2023, the West Side experienced 8.96 inches of rain in less than 9 hours. This is equivalent to almost 7.5 feet of snow. So just keep that in mind. And just this year, we saw nearly 6 inches of rainfall on the Southwest Side in just over 2 hours, which is equivalent to 5 feet of snow. These compressed downpours challenge our combined sewer system, much of which was installed over a century ago. But it also has challenged us to use strategic and innovative thinking in order to be more proactive in mitigating flooding. Everything we do, whether it is sewer or water, is data and science driven. One of the hardest things to do, or better yet, the worst thing to do, is to politicize the water and the sewer systems. Because no one wins, especially not the residents and the customers. With that, we are currently deploying tested strategies and piloting others to strategically and proactively alleviate the burden on the system, allowing us to gain the largest benefit area. One is sewer grid cleaning. It's a maintenance measure to ensure proper functioning of the sewer system. This process involves identifying numerous blocks of sewer adjacent to each other and systematically cleaning each segment of sewer within the grid to gain the largest benefit area. Downspout disconnection. Disconnecting downspouts helps reduce flooding by directing clean rainwater from roofs onto lawns instead of into the sewer system. In Chatham, we will be piloting a different type of downspout disconnection program that will include rain gardens and other green infrastructure to decrease the amount of water that enters the sewer system. The rain blocker program consists of restrictors inside the catch basins to slow the flow of rainwater into the sewer system. Newly designed low flow catch basin lids are designed to slow the amount of water that actually enters the catch basin. All of these things I just named are designed to keep water on the street longer. Some work perfectly by themselves, but there are areas that benefit from a combination of all of these. And the reality is that we want more water on the streets. The more water we contain on the streets means that there's less water in people's basements. We will soon be breaking ground on an overflow storage pilot to install underground storage on the west side to reduce the burden of sewers and keep it from residents' basements. Long-term regional solutions include the Area 4 Tunnel Project on the south side of the city. It includes constructing a 9.7-mile-long, 20-foot diameter deep rock tunnel to direct the surplus rainwater and sanitary surcharge to the MWRD tunnel system. But retrofitting and replacing old infrastructure doesn't stop at flooding. The city of Chicago is embarking on one of the largest infrastructure projects known to man, and that's the lead service line replacement program. Until 1986, when the federal government banned the practice, it was written into the Chicago Municipal Code that service lines to smaller dwellings like houses and two flats had to be lead. Much of Chicago has older housing stock, so we tell residents to assume that their service line is lead if they live in a house or two flat built before 1986 and has not been renovated. But if you are wondering if your service line is lead, we do have a searchable service line inventory posted where you can input your address and see what material we believe your line to be. Understand something. Having a lead line does not mean that you have lead exceedances in your water. Chicago's drinking water has been in compliance with U.S. EPA standards for over 30 years. This is because we treat the water with a blended phosphate that coats the pipes when water is used regularly. This blended phosphate mitigates contaminants, including lead, from leaching into the water. Last December, after 20 years of research and testing, we changed our phosphate formula and increased the dosage. Today, I am very happy to announce that we have reached a statistically significant number of results, which show that lead concentration have dropped 20% across the city in drinking water. And we are expecting them to decrease further as the new corrosion control continues to take effect. But we are not stopping there, so please stay tuned. But the question I don't get enough of is, how can homeowners help in reducing lead in water? I'm glad you asked. One of my favorite quotes is by Benjamin Franklin, and it's, "An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure." What is that ounce of prevention? It's something that we do every day, and we call it flushing. How do you flush? Turning on the water to warm your shower, you're flushing. Turning the water on to brush your teeth, you're flushing. The best example of flushing is, and I'm probably going to date myself with this, is when I was younger and my parents or grandparents would tell me, go get me a glass of water and don't bring it back to me until it runs cold. Little did they know that was flushing the service line. Letting the water run to get to the cooler water is literally pulling all the stagnant water out of the service line to get to the fresh water in the water main. Little things like that lead to the pound of cure. In 2021, we began developing plans for what would be a multi-year, multi-billion dollar endeavor to replace lead service lines. We started before any legislation compelled us to do so, and with a voluntary commitment to replace the entire service line, including the section that is privately owned. Many other communities sent a bill to the homeowner for the private side of the line, and replacement is mandatory. But it's not mandatory here in Chicago, and despite aggressive outreach efforts, many people still choose not to participate in this free program. Although we have limited funds, we are still centering equity in our lead service line programs. All of our lead line replacement programs are completely free to homeowners, with one exception: the homeowner-initiated program. But we do waive up to $5,000 in permitting fees. For income-qualified homeowners, we have the equity program, free. For licensed daycare centers, free, and we are prioritizing those in lower-income areas. For leaks and breaks in service lines, free. Whenever we replace older water or sewer mains, free. In coordination with other department projects, you say it with me?
Free.
Right. In coordination with other utilities?
Free.
And in 2025, we launched a new program that will replace every lead service line at block level. And what is it?
Free.
Exactly. And if you qualify for free, it will be free. And as my daughter always says, free 99, you cannot beat it. Who doesn't like free? But all of our programs have been developed around and are based on the funding that we have available. There's been a lot of publicity nationally and more so locally around funding lead line replacement. So it is important to recognize that the amount we have received through the bipartisan infrastructure law and through the U.S. EPA WIFI alone are just a tiny fraction of the billions we estimate it will take to replace Chicago's lines. So with that, we also use general obligation bonds, congressional earmarks, state revolving funds, and community development block grant funding for lead service line replacement. But due to the spending constraints attached to each funding source, it may take as many as three different sources to pay for one replacement. We have been very proactive about working with any potential funders to establish new funding sources. I tell anyone who will listen, I have been digging around in my couch cushions for spare change. I'm not above collecting aluminum cans or returning pop bottles like I did as a kid. I've even joked about having a carnival with a dunk tank, and I would be the person in the tank. I guarantee you there are at least 2,200 people that will get in line for that, and some maybe twice. So what I'm saying is that I am taking all dollars to try to get this program completed. That's just how serious we are about getting funding to complete this program. So here in Chicago, we are very fortunate. We have access to one of the world's best sources of fresh water in Lake Michigan. At a time when other U.S. cities are rationing water usage and cities in other countries are completely running out of drinking water, we have the largest body of fresh water in our backyard. And we are already seeing communities, including many near us, face their own challenges with a dependable water source. The city of Joliet found that its aquifers were beginning to dry up, and after performing their due diligence in 2021, they selected Chicago as their new provider. This construction of a 30-mile-long pipeline would serve as a path to more markets for us in the northern part of the state. With five smaller nearby communities, they have already formed the Grand Prairie Water Commission and are laying the groundwork for more downstream customers to come online in 2030. The 100-year-long contract with Joliet represents $30 million annually coming into the water fund and helping to support maintenance and modernization of Chicago's infrastructure. It is my future vision that Chicago becomes the epicenter of the next great migration. And what do I mean by that? My ancestors, your ancestors, our friends, our families left various places coming to Chicago for a better life. We are anticipating the exact same type of migration because of our dependable water sources. not just families, but businesses. It has been shown that a dependable water source and strong, reliable infrastructure makes a city or region that much more attractive. I predict that in the near future, we will see mass amounts of people moving into the Midwest and more so Chicago so they can have access to fresh water. Our plentiful source of fresh water is already generating buzz around building a blue economy in Chicago. The local nonprofit Current and its partners were awarded up to a $160 million federal grant from the National Science Foundation to fund the Great Lakes Renew Project, and that is a water innovation hub aimed at spurring economic growth in the Great Lakes region. Why wouldn't Chicago want to be a part of that? Why wouldn't we want to be a leader in that space? As of 2024, the blue economy has employed over 7 million people, supporting over $1 trillion in the gross domestic product. In 2020, Illinois Water Cluster was a $16.7 billion industry. And looking ahead, the same cluster is expected to add more than 27,000 jobs. Clean, reliable water underpins our economy, public health, and the environment. Chicago has positioned itself as a leader in all of these spaces, including the water industry. People and businesses will relocate here as our climate keeps changing and groundwater sources continue to be depleted across the country. A circular economy is future-oriented, and it requires continued collaboration, and we can't get any of this done without our partners. Partnership is a critical component of everything we do, and we are closely interconnected with other city departments, state and county agencies, federal partners, and nonprofits. Some partners work with us on the streets. Some partners regulate our work. Some legislate on our issues, some help with outreach, and some actually help to fund us. They all play a critical role in ensuring that our infrastructure is prepared for any emergency event or critical infrastructure upgrade. But I have one pressing question for each of you. Will you be an advocate for water the correct way? Which partnership category do you fit in? Because we all fit in one of them, respectively. I truly believe that you wouldn't be here today if you were not interested in the well-being of Chicago. Please help us to share accurate information about our work. Join us in calling for more funding, not only for lead service line replacement, but water infrastructure in general. I am very proud of DWM's long history of service, and I am very excited to see us move into our next phase as a regional water provider and the national epicenter of the blue innovation. Thank you.
Great. Standing ovation. Thank you. You learn something new every time you walk into this room, and I did not expect to be able to understand all of that. It's incredible. Thank you, Commissioner. I have a question. I wonder if anyone has questions, please raise your hand. I'll kick off with mine. You had mentioned a pipeline to Joliet. We're so fortunate to be sitting on this resource, but there's so many others. I mean, think about California and others. How do you balance, and by the way, a little bit of a budget hole, as you may have heard, how do you balance that ability to protect our resource with perhaps selling some water and filling a bit of a budget gap?
So again, I think because we are an enterprise fund, it's a little bit easier than the rest of the city, but protecting the water system is something that is high on our list of things to do and things we have to accomplish on a daily basis. By ensuring that we are building this pipeline safely and is secure and securely and getting our customers understanding that this is what we're doing, I think that they will get the picture. And also, $30 million annually coming into the city of Chicago, into the water fund, is going to help balance a lot of that. right? Because the reality is that we can't get it done and we can't maintain the Sawyer plant, which is where the water will be coming from, or the Southwest Pumping Station, to be able to get them that water.
Does anyone have a question? Please raise your hand. I do have a pre-submitted one that I'm going to. Don't be shy. I'll ask the one that you actually just sort of referenced this. Danielle Gallet. Oh, I'll come back to you. Danielle Gallet from Waterwell asked, the Jardine Water Purification Plant began operation in the 60s. What plans does the city have for reinvestment in this critical infrastructure to ensure that the world's largest water filtration plant continues to serve the region?
That's a great question. So currently we are in the midst of doing a facility evaluation to understand exactly the issues that we have. And that's something that we do every 10 years so we can build out our next capital improvement program on the facility side. Now, with that being said, again, it all comes down to money, right? So we're always asking, again, looking for dollars, looking for capital dollars, looking for any type of grants, any type of funding that comes in. So as we make our assessment, we will prioritize those to understand exactly what we need to do. If that means that we need to prioritize the roof, we will prioritize the roof over the filter beds. That means we need to prioritize the under drains to strengthen that so we can continue to distribute water. Those are some of the things that we will do. We are always making investments. One of the things that I tell people is that our facility investments go totally unnoticed because all people see are the water mains and the sewer mains. There is a lot of money that goes into our facilities on an annual basis, and it's usually well over $100 million every year that we invest and into our facilities.
All right, question right over here.
Of course. Thank you so much for that great talk. It was really fantastic. Louis McCarowitz from Guidehouse. Basing this question with an understanding that access to water is a fundamental human right, I wonder how you think about valuing it in terms of dollars when you think about rates for water and how expanding access outside of the city. How do you approach that so that the dollars make sense and also so that people can continue to have access at the levels that they need?
Absolutely. So the running joke in my office when people ask me about having access to water, water is totally free. You can go to the lake right now with a bucket and go get it. But what you are paying for is the treatment and the distribution of the water. You're paying for safe, clean drinking water. If we go back to the slide that I had up there before, right, it was a guy with a barrel and a little bucket with a donkey selling water. And look how far we've come now to the largest treatment and filtration plant in the world. Right? So what does that mean? That means we have to take a look at rising costs and what it costs to treat water, rising labor costs, rising commodity costs. We have to do a valuation of our entire system to see exactly what that means, exactly how we will increase costs or not increase costs depending on what's going on. The reason why we're able to do the work that we're able to do and keep our costs at where we're able to keep them, because we have Lake Michigan. We don't have to go 20 miles for water like some cities. We don't have to worry about the harsh treatment of water because we have the world's largest body of fresh water in our backyard. All of that plays into that. So when you start thinking about valuation of water, water is literally about to become the next oil when you really think about it. That's the direction that it's coming in. But if we continue to maintain our system, if we continue to have good partners, if we continue to put back into the community, if we continue to talk about water in a positive way and not what people hear in the media, not what people see in newspapers, but actually have a conversation with the people who do it on a daily basis that don't have self-serving interest, but only want to make sure that the water system is safe and that the water is safe, then that's how you evaluate water. That's how you keep the prices down.
Any other questions from the audience? Just raise your hand high. Okay. That's great. You really made this applicable to everybody. I know some of you are experts in water. So thank you for helping us kind of understand this, what we don't see all the time. And if you need any help in that, years ago when I was in the city, before sewers and water combined, they had a contest. And I don't know if you heard about this, but they had a couple of slogans that they came up with. And I think it was "Your number two is our number one." And and when you flush, think of us.
That's it.
So if you're trying to, you can feel free to weave that into
understood
your presentation
gotcha
next
yeah
time.
Absolutely.
We appreciate all that you're doing and all that you all are doing behind the scenes to make us safe, to make us a little bit of money, but also to just make this city the best city in the world. And I totally appreciate what you're saying about the future of Chicago based on water, just kind of how the city was founded, right?
Absolutely.
1837,
exactly.
The river and the lake. So thank you, Commissioner Connor. That was an awesome presentation.
Thank you very
yeah
much.
Thank you. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
And you all are welcome back. We've got plenty of great programs coming. Thank you, Commissioner. That will be hard to top. We do have a program in a couple of days. I think it's sold out. We have Advance Illinois October 1st. We're in October this week. Mismeasuring Impact in the Nonprofit Sector is on October 15th. Ambassador Rahm Emanuel knows a thing or two about water. He's also sold out, but that's on October 23rd. Governor J.B. Pritzker and Sky Perryman, that'll be a really neat conversation on a Friday evening, October 24th. That's a members only. If you didn't get the email, it's because you're not a member. So we're trying a couple new things to make sure everybody remembers to renew their membership. That's going to be a really neat, intimate event over at Chicago Cut. Fighting Economic Blight, Introducing a Statewide Model for Betting on Main Street is October 29th. Plenty more to come. That's just the next few programs. So thank you again for being here. Thank you for supporting. Thanks for doing all the good things you do to move Chicago forward. Have a great day in our beautiful, wonderful city.